This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, September 17th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
mixed messages from the White House risk sinking trade talks with China.
Stocks in China fall on trade concerns, reaching their lowest level since 2014.
NAFTA negotiations between the U.S. and Canada could come to a head this week.
And UBS chooses Frankfurt as its post-Brexit hub in the EU.
What's left of Hurricane Florence continues to cause havoc in the southeast. Plus, more on allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Rough night for the Giants. They lost in Dallas and are now 0-2. The Jets lost to the Dolphins. The Yankees lost to the Blue Jays. And the Mets lost to the Red Sox.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
President Trump has instructed.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com.
U.S.-China trade concerns are back in focus, and that is stocks under pressure this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 4 points this morning. Dow futures down 32. NASDAQ futures down 13. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. CAC in Paris down 0.25%. The FTSE 100 down 0.3%. No trading in Japan today due to a holiday, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.99%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.77%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 54 cents to $69.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is up about 0.1% or 80 cents to $12.01.90 an ounce. Bob.
The White House appears to be putting out mixed messages on trade, reaching out to China for talks while simultaneously proceeding with new tariffs. Bloomberg senior editor Jody Schneider reports from Hong Kong.
President Trump has instructed his aides to proceed with tariffs on about $200 billion more in Chinese products. And even though that offer is out there for the Chinese to meet with their U.S. counterparts, the Chinese officials are now saying, according to the Wall Street Journal, that they're not going to come if more tariffs are imposed.
Beijing last week had initially welcomed the U.S. invitation for talks before word that the White House is also looking to go ahead with another round of tariffs.
This latest trade friction led to losses for stocks in Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sully has details from Singapore.
Stocks in Hong Kong and China led the declines as market sentiment there was also affected by Typhoon Mangkhut, which battered the region over the weekend. Macau casino stocks were sold off as analysts estimated the cost of a shutdown in the gambling hub caused by the storm would cost $186 million. Elsewhere, the Indian rupee and Korean won slid while the Philippine peso touched a fresh 12-year low, doubly hit by the EM contagion effect and the aftermath of Mangkhut. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Juliet. Meantime, back at the NAFTA talks, it's crunch time yet again. Bloomberg's John Tucker joining us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Bob. A Canadian government official tells Bloomberg high-level negotiations are expected to resume this week in a bid to reach a deal for Canada to remain in the North American Free Trade Agreement. The middle of this week, probably Thursday, is considered the next deadline to reach a handshake deal that could be converted into legal text by the end of this month. The U.S. has dropped some of its most high-profile demands. Two officials familiar with the negotiations say the Trump administration has begun to show more flexibility, and the progress of talks picked up last week. President Trump has threatened to proceed without Canada, but Congress has warned he can't do that on the current U.S. legal path, which calls for a three-country deal. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. Turkey's government is preparing to announce a set of measures to help banks cope with bad loans. That's according to four people with knowledge of the matter who tell Bloomberg the plan includes steps to carve out non-performing loans from balance sheets to boost banks' lending power. That could include transferring some bad loans to a state-designated entity.
J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon took to ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos yesterday to express regret about his earlier comments that he could beat President Trump in an election.
I shouldn't have said it, and I more out of frustration and a little of my own machismo, but I shouldn't have said it, and also proves I wouldn't be a good politician.
Dimon also went on to say the president deserves some credit for the strong economy.
Pro-business, pro-competitive taxes, pro-some regulatory reform, and that has helped the economy. So it's impossible for me to tease out how much, but it has helped the economy, just like President Obama helped to stop the economy from getting much worse.
Speaking on ABC's This Week, as heard here on Bloomberg Radio, Jamie Dimon also said he's not considering a run for president in 2020.
UBS has picked Frankfurt as its post-Brexit hub in the European Union. CEO Sergio Ermotti tells Bloomberg the bank is no longer preparing for a soft Brexit.
Whatever solution is coming now that may make it a little bit softer is no longer relevant for us, because a few weeks ago, basically, we had to make a decision, you know, to go and execute for worst-case scenario.
While UBS will use Frankfurt as its base for EU operations, Sergio Ermotti says the Swiss bank will also have offices in Madrid, Paris, and Milan.
Shares of H&M are up 12% in Stockholm. The fashion retailer posted quarterly sales that beat the highest analyst estimate. A weak Swedish krona also helped boost growth, with revenue in the period rising 9%.
Here in the U.S., FedEx reports earnings after the close of U.S. trading. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Forecasts are for FedEx to post an adjusted profit of $3.82 a share on revenue of nearly $16.9 billion. But Bloomberg Intelligence says the company could surpass the consensus and raise its guidance for the full fiscal year. FedEx likely benefited from growth in e-commerce and market strength and a strong pricing environment. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. Mark Benioff, the billionaire co-founder of Salesforce.com, is purchasing Time Magazine. Benioff and his wife agreed to pay $190 million to Meredith Corporation for the struggling print publication. The Benioffs say they won't be involved in day-to-day operations or journalistic decisions at Time Magazine and plan to keep its current leadership team in charge.
When it comes to the prospect of an impending recession, Goldman Sachs doesn't share the same concerns as some of its peers. Goldman sees just a 36% chance of a U.S. recession over the next 3 years. That risk is below the historical average and goes against recent calls from Bridgewater Associates and JPMorgan Chase. Economists at Goldman say growth will stay robust and are less worried that financial conditions have become unsustainably easy. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is now 6:07 on Wall Street, dealing with the deluge. Bloomberg's Michael Barr is on storm watch this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. People in the Carolinas continue to deal with the flooding from Florence as the now tropical depression is set to inflict more damage on the southeast, and states further north will soon feel the impact, too. FEMA Director Brock Long says, unfortunately, we've still got several days to go. Rivers continue to rise in the Carolinas. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper took a helicopter tour of the flooded areas.
This is a storm that will not leave, and it's very frustrating to all of us to continue to see the rain being dumped across our state.
Florence has killed at least 15 people. Philippine and Chinese authorities say the death toll from a typhoon has risen to at least 69. Mangkhut weakened to a tropical storm. Bloomberg's Cecilia Yap has more from Manila.
It forced more than 200,000 people to move to safer grounds as the world's strongest storm this year slammed into the country Saturday before losing some strength heading to China. Landslides and floods have struck some areas and many more are without electricity and communication. Tens of thousands are now staying in evacuation centers.
Bloomberg Cecilia Yap in Manila. Two key Republicans, Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, joined Democrats in demanding further investigation of a woman's allegation that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her decades ago in high school. It comes before a crucial Judiciary Committee vote to move the nomination forward. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska says the accusations deserve a response.
I haven't had an opportunity to dig further into this. I haven't talked to the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. I'm not on that committee, so I don't know what he has done with all this information. I need to find out more about what's going on.
President Trump says he will not withdraw the nomination. FEMA will conduct the first test of a national wireless alert system that allows the president to send text messages directly to a majority of mobile phone users in the U.S. Thursday's message will be identified as a presidential alert and will contain the text, "This is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. It has happened again for the fifth time in the last 6 years. The Giants are off to an 0-2 start. Cowboys scored a long touchdown on the third play of the game, never looked back. The final was 20-13, but only because the Giants scored 10 meaningless points in the last 90 seconds. The offense until then was inept. Eli Manning sacked 6 times. New coach Pat Shurmur on his quarterback.
Eli's confident. He's a pro. And he battled throughout the game, and I thought he did a good job. But I do sense confidence, yes.
How much is the pressure getting to him? Obviously, he was under
heavy confidence.
Pressure today.
I sense confidence in Eli.
Odell Beckham, a non-factor. Rookie Saquon Barkley did set a club record with 14 receptions. The Giants are back in Texas next Sunday in Houston. The optimism over that Jets easy win last Monday in Detroit didn't carry over in the home opener. 2 turnovers became Miami touchdowns, and the Dolphins won 20-12. Miami 2-0 in first place. Last year's Super Bowl teams both lost in Florida. The Eagles at Tampa Bay. Ryan Fitzpatrick, only playing due to the Jameis Winston suspension, had his second straight 400-yard and 4-touchdown game. And the Patriots lost in Jacksonville as the Jags avenged the AFC title game defeat in New England. Another bad weekend for the Yankees. Lost 2 straight at home to Toronto. Failed to score after the first inning. And when the Blue Jays got 2 in the 8th off Dellin Betances, the Jays won 3-2. The Red Sox can clinch the AL East tomorrow in the Bronx. In Boston, they beat the Mets 4-3. No decision for Jacob DeGrom. He again pitched well, but only 8 wins and 30 starts due to the Mets' inability to score runs for DeGrom. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Also, some somber sports news today. Clayton Riddell, co-owner of the NHL's Calgary Flames, died over the weekend. The 81-year-old passed away Saturday following a short illness. Riddell had been part owner of the Flames since 2003 and was also the founder of Canadian oil company Paramount Resources. S&P futures down 4 points, 0.1%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And a sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank. Business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg Business. Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures moving lower this morning. S&P futures down 5 points. Dow futures down 35. NASDAQ futures down 15. DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.99%. And NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 62 cents to $69.61 a barrel. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, officials plan to airlift food and water to Wilmington, North Carolina. The city of 120,000 people is cut off from the rest of the state from Florence. Meanwhile, the forecast for Florence has not changed. It's still raining and rivers are still rising. Mancun has now weakened to a tropical storm as it moves deeper into southern China, but rain and strong winds are still continuing. The storm, which earlier hit the Philippines, caused landslides and buildings to collapse, killing dozens. In the NFL, both the Giants and Jets lost, along with the Patriots, Redskins, and Raiders. The 49ers won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:19 on Wall Street, and good morning to you. I'm John Tucker. Time now to get you set up for the trading week ahead. Helping us do that here in New York, Joe Weisenthal, the head of Bloomberg's America's News Desk. In London, we're joined by News Director David Merritt, and with us from Beijing this morning, the managing editor, Emma O'Brien. Joe, let me start with you, since you're here with me in New York. Well, the trade talks starting up again, or, well, maybe not.
Yeah, excuse me. Yes, this is going to be one of the interesting things to watch, whether anything gets going on trade or really doesn't. You know, I think from the market perspective, what I keep coming back to, sorry, what I keep coming back to is how we get these headlines about tariffs, and they seem to matter for a few minutes, but then over the broad sweep of things, they don't seem to have much of an impact.
Well, they get undermined. You hear something right. from one official in the administration, and then a tweet comes out that undermines it.
Exactly right. So the market has decided for the most part not to care too much, but if we really do get a much bigger round of tariffs and maybe a much bigger round after that, maybe the market will start to care.
Emma, let's get the Chinese perspective there in Beijing. What are they saying?
Yeah, well, the Chinese are obviously trying to work out how best to play their next move with Trump, as Joe said, saying one thing and then another on Twitter. They don't want to provoke him, I don't think, but they want to defend their corner. I think it's pretty clear at this stage that proceeding with the $200 billion would be seen as a sign of escalation by the U.S., as it would be more than half of China's exports to the U.S. dragged into this trade war effectively and really hit some of the key manufacturing products out of China, such as household goods.
It is affecting Chinese stocks, right?
That's right. There's a lot of anxiety in the markets here, as the sell-off that we saw today in Shanghai stocks shows. It's back at levels seen just before a big ramp-up in margin debt soared into a bull market in 2015 before it quickly crashed to earth. And all that was unwound by over-leveraged Chinese investors. So that the slump in equities really does raise the stakes here for China's leaders, as it's carving into fortunes of not just the richest tier, but the mum-and-pop investors that dominate that Chinese equity market as well.
Let's switch gears and head to London. David Merritt, guess what we're talking about this morning?
I can't imagine. Yes.
Will result in an exit, at least for UBS.
That's right. They're the latest bank to lay out their plans of how they're going to deal with Brexit. They're going to switch their financial center in the European Union to Frankfurt. This was from the boss, Sergio Ermotti, speaking to Bloomberg in an interview this morning out of Singapore. I think what is interesting, obviously lots of banks are making these sorts of decisions, but he said really all the costs for this, and it's going to cost them, I reckon, about $100 million, are already been going to have to be spent whatever happens. So they said whether there's a deal or no deal, financial firms have been planning for the worst, and these plans are going to play. So while the politicians are wrangling, the banks have ploughed ahead, and they've already spent this money. They're already complaining that whatever happens next, they've had to take a big
Why risk. Is Frankfurt the alternative to London?
Well, they're actually spreading it around a bit more, both in Madrid, Paris, and Milan. And, you know, it's really been a toss-up between Paris, Frankfurt for where to put the base. Frankfurt probably has a little bit more critical mass. We've seen them winning more jobs than other places. But most banks having a more spread-out approach, because nowhere can replicate the same scale that London can.
Joe Weisenthal here in New York, while others fret over recession, Goldman Sachs says, relax.
Yeah, exactly right. So more and more voices are coming out and saying 2020 is the key year to watch. And typically they're citing basically the end of the stimulus and the tax cuts, the effect will no longer be there. But Goldman Sachs is saying there isn't really any real concern, particularly about 2020. So, yes, there will be some of the stimulus effects fading, but that there's nothing in their models that say we'll actually get a downturn. It is just becoming a very popular year to call. We had Dalio, JP Morgan, Societe Generale, and others all pointing. Ben Bernanke is even called up for a Wile E. Coyote moment in 2020. Definitely the hot news source of debate.
Well, eventually they will be right. Emma, back to Beijing. Don't ever bet against a typhoon.
That's right. Well, nothing typically closes Macau. This is the world's biggest gambling hub. But the government there decided for the first time ever that the typhoon that hit Hong Kong and southern China over the weekend warranted it this time. Well, that shutdown, it was a mere 33 hours. According to analysts, wiped 186 million off the revenues of Macau's casinos, which include resorts like Sands China and Wynn Resorts Macau operations as well. The stocks did see some losses today because this is adding to anxiety about these shares that are already there. The trade war is helping slow the Chinese economy, and these are seen as a little bit of a bellwether of retail spending, of consumer appetite, and of the wider economy here in China. So not good news for the Macau stocks.
All right, Emma. Joe, let's finish up with you in about 30 seconds. A vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh, a little less certain this morning.
Absolutely. After the accuser came forward over the weekend in an article in the Washington Post, It is absolutely less certain whether there's going to be a vote in confirmation of President Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. No doubt going to be the massive political story of the week.
An accuser of sexual assault, and this goes back to teenage years. Do the markets care real quick?
I doubt it. Now, it's possible that this could cause some impact on the midterms, whether this motivates one side of the base or not. I don't know about that. If it were, then perhaps that would get the market's attention.
Joe Weisenthal here in New York, David Merritt in London, and Emma O'Brien joined us from Beijing this morning. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P futures down 5 points.
Daybreak brought to you by BNB Bank. From Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business and their financial success, with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail, BNB Bank. Many success stories, one bank, bnbbank.com.
Confusion.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are falling amid the latest concerns over trade. Sources tell Bloomberg that President Trump wants to proceed with additional tariffs on Chinese products. At the same time, the Wall Street Journal says China is considering declining the Trump administration's recent offer for talks.
Negotiations on NAFTA could come to a head this week. The U.S. and Canada likely need a handshake deal by Thursday to convert an agreement into legal text by a September 30th deadline.
Economic data this week could signal whether U.S. housing is stalling, Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
Mortgage rates have been rising, and recent data are casting doubt on the stamina of America's property market. Housing starts plunged by almost 13% in June and barely recovered in July. We'll get the August tally on Wednesday. Existing home sales have also been trodden, falling for 4 months in a row. That report is set for Thursday. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinnie. When it comes to the prospect of an impending recession, Goldman Sachs doesn't share the same concern as some of its peers. Goldman sees just a 36% chance of a U.S. recession over the next 3 years.
Turkey's government is preparing to announce a set of measures to help banks cope with bad loans. That's according to four people with knowledge of the matter who tell Bloomberg the plan includes steps to carve out non-performing loans from balance sheets to boost banks' lending power.
Shares of H&M are up more than 13% in Stockholm. The fashion retailer posted quarterly sales that beat the highest analyst estimate.
And Mark Benioff, the billionaire co-founder of Salesforce.com, is purchasing Time Magazine. Benioff and his wife agreed to pay $190 million to Meredith Corporation for the struggling print publication.
And Karen, it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. That's time for your Volatility Index report. The VIX fell on Friday to close at 12.07. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is even lower. It is now at 12.69. And that's your Volatility report.
And futures this morning are lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points. Dow futures down 37. NASDAQ futures down 16. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. The yield at 3.00%. The yield on the 2-year is 2.77%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 50 cents to $69.49 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed at $1,201.90 an ounce. And the euro, $1.1658. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 6:33 on Wall Street. And this news update is brought to you by Deutsch Atkins PC. If you feel you've been unlawfully terminated, you owe it to yourself to call the law firm of Deutsch Atkins now. For a free phone consultation, call 800-498-0991. Well, it's so bad, we can't tell you exactly how bad the storm has been. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Companies, regulators, and environmental groups are waiting for record floods to recede so they can make a comprehensive assessment of damage from what was Hurricane Florence. However, rivers throughout North and South Carolina are days from cresting as the deadly storm moves northeast. Norman Bryson is the director of emergency services in Onslow County, North Carolina.
So far, what we're dealing with is probably the most catastrophic disaster that this county has seen in the last 50 or 60 years since Hurricane Hazel came in 1954.
Florence has killed at least 15 people. Hong Kong and southern China are cleaning up after Typhoon Mangkhut killed dozens when it earlier hit the Philippines. Judge Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation for the Supreme Court has taken an uncertain turn. Republican senators are expressing concern over a woman's allegation that a drunken Kavanaugh groped her and tried to take off her clothes at a party when they were teenagers. Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine says she has discussed the incident with Kavanaugh.
It's an issue that I brought up with him last Friday, and he denied, as he did in his written statement.
The Senate Judiciary Committee plans to vote later this week, despite calls by Democrats to postpone the vote. After about a year of legal resistance, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has pleaded guilty and agreed to cooperate in special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. More on what that means from Bloomberg's Nathan Hager in Washington.
Manafort's plea deal requires him to cooperate in any way investigators deem relevant, and Mueller's likely to have a range of questions, from his involvement in the infamous Trump Tower meeting with a Russian lawyer promising dirt on Hillary Clinton, to his knowledge of Russian oligarchs he's done business with in the past. President Trump has said Manafort was with his campaign for a short period of time, but he was there during the Republican National Convention, and he's a key figure in the unverified dossier compiled by former British spy Christopher Steele. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. The Giants, off a 3-13 season, wanted to win this season, not think as much about the future. That's why they drafted running back Saquon Barkley. They left quarterback Sam Darnold for the Jets, but they're not winning this season, not yet anyway. They're 0-2 for the fifth time in the last 6 years. They've yet to score a touchdown in the first three quarters. Last night in Dallas, they trailed 20-3 with 2 minutes left. The Cowboys won 20-13. The win now mode, also why they gave a ton of money to Odell Beckham, but they're not using him. Eli Manning asked why Beckham only had 4 catches.
You know, they did a good job mixing up their coverages, and I don't know if they had anything specifically, so they just, you know, did a good job just getting them some, you know, getting some pressure, and didn't, you know, give us a whole lot of time to get the ball down the field.
Rough night for Eli. He got sacked 6 times. Barkley did set a club record with 14 catches. Darnold and the Jets in the home opener trailed 20-0 at halftime. Fell to Miami 20-12. Darnold threw 2 interceptions. There was another NFL tie, second in as many weeks. Vikings and Packers 29-all. Minnesota's kicker missed 2 field goals in overtime. How bad are the Bills? Blown out by the Chargers. Buffalo defensive back Vontae Davis retired at halftime. Took off his uniform, walked away. Yankees failed to score after the first inning, loss to the Blue Jays 3-2. Red Sox beat the Mets 4-3. Boston's magic number to clinch the AL East is 2, so the Sox can clinch tomorrow in the Bronx. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
The Federal Election Commission would prefer not to know. On a party-line vote, the FEC has voted not to pursue enforcement action against the campaign of President Trump for soliciting foreign contributions in the summer of 2016. In June and July of 2016, the Trump campaign sent emails soliciting funds to members of the UK Parliament. Watchdog organizations have filed complaints. Yet Republicans on the FEC are sure that campaign finance laws weren't broken. In a separate case, the FEC opted not to pursue charges that former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort had illegally solicited campaign money for a super PAC that backed Trump. If Democrats take control of one or both sides of Congress in November, they should commence hearings into the FEC. If a bipartisan solution proves impossible, then Congress should consider winding down the FEC and transferring its functions to the Justice Department. The status quo is a mockery of law. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Senators are trying to expedite legislation to authorize a new Department of Homeland Security agency to combat cyber threats. They're hoping they can do it by unanimous consent. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
There's already a division within the Department of Homeland Security that focuses on cyber threats. It's called the National Protection and Programs Directorate.
But the public doesn't really realize it. Companies don't really realize it. Other governments don't really recognize what it does.
Bloomberg Government's Michaela Ross.
It's about renaming it. It's about reorganizing it. And it's about making it its own agency.
It is a priority for Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who says a new agency is needed because DHS wasn't built for a digital pandemic. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street, and that is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Biofuel demand is going sky high, you might say, for the airline industry as carriers aim to reduce both carbon emissions and their reliance on fossil fuels. JetBlue and Cathay Pacific are among several carriers planning larger scale use of biofuel in 2019 and 2020. United Continental Holdings has set a goal of cutting its carbon emissions to half of 2005 levels by 2050 with greater biofuel use and more efficient aircraft. United first made biofuel part of its routine operations in 2016 at its Los Angeles hub. It also invested $30 million for a stake in Fulcrum Bioenergy, which takes household garbage and converts the solid waste into a liquid blended with regular jet fuel. Another of its producers derives its biofuel from a type of mustard seed. Airlines account for about 2% of annual global carbon emissions, but rapid growth has made it a top issue. Biofuel flights are currently limited by industry standard to a maximum 50% blend with regular jet fuel. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures at this hour down 5 points, a tenth of 1%. This is Bloomberg. And coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll bring you the latest world and national news, plus a check of sports. And straight ahead, we'll look at today's developments in the nation's capital, including the new tariffs President Trump is about to impose.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are moving lower this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading lower on additional trade concerns. Dow futures currently down 27 points. S&P's dropped 4, and NASDAQ futures declined by 14. The U.S. 10 yield at 3%. Oil is higher, and Shanghai fell 1.1% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing. And after the bell on Friday, Lockheed Martin won a satellite contract worth up to $7.2 billion. And in other news, Micron's price target cut to 60 from 80 over at Deutsche Bank. And Stiefel said that Microsoft is likely to boost the dividend 10 to 15% tomorrow. Wrapping things up, Thermo Fisher was cut to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Federated investors upgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan. Broadcom upgraded to buy at Nomura. And Bed Bath & Beyond upgraded to market perform over at Raymond James. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And here, live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a California psychology professor who claims Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh attempted to sexually assault her when they were in high school, identified herself in a Washington Post article Sunday. Christine Blasey Ford is accusing Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her in the early 80s. Kavanaugh has denied the allegation. Rivers continue to rise after devastating flooding in the Carolinas from Florence. In the NFL, both the Giants and Jets lost, along with the Patriots, Redskins, and Raiders. The 49ers won. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets fell to the Red Sox. The A's and Giants lost. The Orioles and Nationals won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, this had to be the wackiest moment Sunday in the NFL. Buffalo Bills cornerback Vontae Davis decided to retire from playing, but when did he do it? Right at halftime while the game was still going on. That move didn't sit well with his teammates. Tackle Kyle Williams said, "I think the only thing to say is he is where he needs to be right now."
Ooh.
Asked where that might be, Williams responded, That's not here, point blank and simple. Oh, snap. Defensive end Lorenzo Alexander said, I don't have nothing to say about Vontae, so I'll give him a little bit more respect than he showed us today as far as quitting on us in the middle of the game. By the way, the Bills lost to the Chargers 31-20.
I think that's otherwise known as take the money and walk. Huh?
Oof, man, that was global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. But you know what? I'm retiring right now. That's it. I'm done.
See ya.
Okay, I'll be back in 25 minutes.
All right. It is now 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump instructing aides to proceed with tariffs on about $200 billion more in Chinese products. At the same time, the Wall Street Journal reports that China is considering declining the Trump administration's recent offer for talks. And while U.S.-China trade is in focus, so too is NAFTA. Negotiations with Canada could come to a head this week as a handshake deal is likely, probably by Thursday, likely needed by Thursday, to convert the agreement into legal text by a September 30th deadline. Let's get more on these and other stories now with Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. Kevin, good morning. Welcome. So, one of the issues here, I think, with the tariffs is that the White House has been sending conflicting signals on trade, right?
Mixed messages from Washington to NAFTA on the issue of NAFTA, particularly with Canada, as this continues to intensify this week. Look, from the Canadian standpoint, they believe that there is not enough of a good faith effort being made on behalf of President Trump and the administration, particularly as it pertains to the issue of agriculture, and even to some extent, even more specifically on the issue of dairy farmers. All of this comes, however, as Republican senators in many of the states that are impacted by these negotiations, including the likes of Iowa, for example, led, of course, by Senators Joni Ernst and Chuck Grassley, they have been urging the president to get to some type of trilateral deal. Despite the president's continued preference to have bilateral negotiations.
And then we have those NAFTA talks, and it sounds like they're running out of time once again.
It does sound like they're running out of time, and it comes through the juxtaposition as the president, according to the sources that I speak with, has really tried to pressure Canada by working more closely with Mexico. But the backdrop to all of this is that the president has shown a preference to have bilateral trade negotiations. But what he's received is a multilateral response. For example, Canada has decided to work more closely with Europe in terms of opening markets up with the Europeans on the issue of China, with $206 billion worth of additional tariffs potentially to be deployed against the Chinese. China has worked with Europe as well as Russia. So there's a lot of geopolitical chess gamemanship moving on as the president has tried to have a tough talk on the issue of trade, which he feels will help him politically, particularly with his base.
This allegation that is now surrounding Brett Kavanaugh, that a woman alleges he sexually assaulted her while they were both in high school many years ago, is that going to delay the Kavanaugh confirmation to the Supreme Court?
Democrats are calling for it to be delayed. There's three points that I would make on this that are developing this morning very quickly. First and foremost is, one, the Democrats are calling for this to have a delay on the confirmation process. Two, this puts pressure on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell about whether or not there will be an additional hearing this week with regards to these latest allegations, which Judge Kavanaugh adamantly denies. And thirdly, this notion of what's going on the Democratic Party, particularly as progressives have criticized the top Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is Senator Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat from California. She was the one who first received this letter, and ultimately she handed it off to the FBI. But reportedly, there were Democrats who were asking on the Judiciary Committee who were asking for her for a copy of this letter. And so that issue, I think, is something that Democrats are also going to face pressure on as a party as a whole internally. But the bottom line is that we should know within the next 24 to 48 hours whether or not this stalls his vote, which the majority leader wants to have on Friday. The White House, for their part, are standing by Judge Kavanaugh.
And it seems Paul Manafort has thrown the door open to a whole bunch of questions from the special counsel.
Yes. So, with Paul Manafort saying that he will cooperate with Bob Mueller's investigation, now comes what exactly does Paul Manafort have to contribute to the Mueller investigation? And it could be a host of things, including information pertaining to that meeting in Trump Tower in June of 2016 between Paul Manafort as well as Donald Trump Jr. and Natalia Veselnitskaya, who was a Russian attorney who had promised dirt on Hillary Clinton. They've said there was no collusion at that meeting. But meanwhile, we should also note the second point that I would quickly make, which is that Paul Manafort, what he was found guilty of, while it was before the campaign, the tax fraud and charges relating to fraudulent charges, millions of dollars worth, relating to his representation of a pro-Russia faction in the Ukraine. While that was before, we should note just his dealings with the Republican National Committee during the presidential campaign and how he was in charge of the Republican platform as well as the delegate count. He was intricately involved in all of those details, questions that I'm sure Bob Mueller will probe him on in the coming weeks and months ahead.
Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, thanks, Bob. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. It is time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
It's tough to talk about any positive outcomes from a hurricane like Florence, but home builders, many of whom are small businesses, may get a boost after this storm. Joining us now with more, Bloomberg Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna. Carl, how could they get a boost?
As we think about the broader economic outlook, it does cause significant damage to both the capital stock and housing stock in the region. And so this will require significant rebuilding efforts. And as we look at past hurricanes, we can actually see a meaningful pickup in things like construction employment and those repair-related activities like utility workers, plumbers, electricians, etc.
Can they actually find the recovery workers, though?
Well, that's an interesting point because if we look at the small business sentiment survey, the single largest problem was the quality of labor, and that's telling you that the labor market is getting tight.
Carl Riccadonna, thanks a lot. Yeah, that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, thank you, John. Other stories you've been following this morning. The Turkish government will unveil measures to help banks tackle the expected pileup of bad loans resulting from the lira's plunge and soaring interest rates. That, according to people with knowledge of the matter, the plan will seek to mitigate the need for capital injections and propose carving out non-performing loans for transfer to a state designated entity. The plan is likely to be announced on Thursday. And checking the Turkish lira this morning, down 1.2% against the dollar at 6.2444. S&P futures are down 4 points this morning. Dow futures down 24. NASDAQ futures down 13. 10-year treasury down 2/32, yield 3.00%. The yield on the two-year, 2.78%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 50 cents to $69.49 a barrel. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio for our listeners in Washington, D.C. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.